This is Colorado Matters from Colorado Public Radio. I'm Ryan Warner. In Garfield County on the Western Slope, researchers have found chemicals used in gas drilling that are known to interfere with the endocrine system, so our hormones. The study from the University of Missouri didn't look at whether these chemicals actually made anyone in Garfield County sick, but that potential exists. There are more than 10,000 wells in this particular part of the county. The study's results don't surprise Carol Kwiatkowski.
First of all, most of the endocrine disruptors we know of actually come from fossil fuels. So they're refined and used to make things like plastics, flame retardants, pesticides, things we know that are endocrine disruptors. But the other reason is that when my organization began studying natural gas several years ago, we identified hundreds of chemicals that are used by the natural gas industry. And of those, 37% were endocrine disruptors.
Kwiatkowski is executive director of the Endocrine Disruption Exchange. The organization is a science-based advocacy group concerned with products and practices that affect hormones. She spoke with us from Paonia, Colorado. Tell us more about this study out of the University of Missouri.
Well, that was a very interesting approach they took. They measured the estrogenic and androgenic properties of 12 chemicals known to be used in natural gas operations. Things like naphthalene, styrene, ethylene glycol. And what they found were primarily anti-estrogenic and anti-androgenic properties. So these things suppress hormone activity. Then they looked for the same sort of activities in surface and groundwater in Garfield County, near gas wells where spills had occurred, in river water. And they compared it to some controls. One was in Missouri, where there are no natural gas wells in that area. And what they found that the site was that the sites in Colorado had high endocrine activity compared to the Missouri sites.
You talk about chemicals that mostly worked against our hormones. What does that mean for our bodies? And let me say very clearly, once again, this study did not link this to health, but what do we know about what these disruptors do to our health?
So things that you would expect from hormones like fertility and sperm count and undescended testicles, breast and prostate cancer, things like that. But also, as we learn more about this, we recognize the role of endocrine disruptors in effects on the immune system and asthma and cardiovascular disease, as well as things affecting the metabolic system like obesity and diabetes.
Does the Missouri study tell us that the amounts found of these disruptors, you've said that they were elevated, but are they medically important? Are they environmentally important?
I have to say that's not something that was measured in the study. I mean, that can be compared to other research, but that's not how they assessed it in this study.
So that means that there are still questions to answer, really important questions to answer.
Yes, there are.
Are there people who are more susceptible potentially to these kinds of chemicals than others?
The most susceptible are unborn babies, actually. Prenatal exposure to endocrine disruptors is the window of susceptibility time-wise that we know the most about. And one of the biggest problems is that when we're exposed to endocrine disruptors in the womb, it can have permanent effects on how our bodies develop and function.
Aren't there endocrine disruptors, though, in a lot of products that we surround ourselves with? I mean, shampoo. You mentioned plastic, so plastic bottles. I understand with shampoo, there are versions of estrogen in that as a softener.
There are often phthalates in shampoo, which have been shown to be anti-androgenic. So yes, there are endocrine disruptors are everywhere in our world. And that's why it's so important that we understand them from a scientific perspective and also from an exposure perspective.
Well, if these disruptors are in products that we wash our hair with, why should we be concerned particularly about their presence in gas drilling?
Well, if you're living near a natural gas well that is emitting endocrine disruptors into the air, you don't have a choice as to whether or not you breathe that air. And the rapid development of natural gas in close proximity to where people live, to schools, to other areas of recreation makes it a huge concern and something that we really need to understand what levels people are being exposed to and monitoring.
Is government, be it at the state level or federal, demanding that these kinds of things be tracked? I mean, for instance, companies have to release what's in their fracking fluids. Is that enough information?
It's not enough information, and they're not measuring what's in the air near these natural gas wells, where there could be many of them on one pad. There often are. And that's the kind of monitoring that needs to happen.
Let's be more precise about air versus water. So we talked about the Missouri study looking at spills. Is your level of concern that this is getting into water supplies, into the air, both? And is it possible that they transmit to human beings through both?
They can transmit to human beings through both. The issue with water is that it can, we don't know the time frame by which it might migrate into water supplies, and that could be over a long period of time, and it'd be a long time before we see the effects, unless you're dealing with a spill or something that obviously has come to the surface and come to our attention. With air pollution, it's pretty much a certainty with current practices that these chemicals are being released into the air, and so that's where the big concern is that people are breathing them that live near natural gas wells.
When there is a spill or even when operations are going normally?
For the most part, during normal operations. I mean, the best practices, to my knowledge, are not able to capture all of the air emissions.
But the Missouri study looked specifically at the presence of endocrine disruptors at spills, correct?
At spills and in surface water. So it was all water-based, yes.
And the industry would say, listen, if you do a study around our accidents, which are not representative of our industry as a whole, certainly you're going to come up with worrying figures. What would you say to that?
The Missouri study did look at river water, and the spills that they were assessing in their samples had happened many years prior to the sampling. So I think it's valid to say that these sources of pollution are out there and are representative of what people could be exposed to for many years.
That is to say the presence of the disruptors remained years after the initial spill?
Yes.
And how common are spills?
Well, I think they're a lot more common than we know. The industry is supposed to report all spills to the Colorado Oil and Gas Conservation Commission. That happens in varying time frames. So we've looked for certain spills and not been able to find them on their website. It's very difficult to navigate the website to even find the information. And there's some areas, I think Weld County puts out a weekly spill report. So there are quite a few. You know, it's something you might think happens infrequently, but it's a regular part of business as usual.
What are doctors in that region of Colorado on the Western Slope saying about this? And how aware of it are they?
I think doctors in their communities are very aware of the symptoms that people are coming to them with, but we're not seeing a whole lot of participation by doctors who really are speaking out about the community-level impacts. I think it's really important that doctors recognize the role that they could play in identifying problems and the needs of their communities and sharing that knowledge. And that's where we can find out what's going on in various communities. That's in some ways the only way to know. And I think it's also possible for doctors to become involved in the issues like full disclosure of the chemicals that are being used, which is very important when you're dealing with someone who's been affected. And also setback rules, you know, how close is too close. And the monitoring issue as well. So doctors have an important role to play, and I'd like to see them taking on more of that.
Meanwhile, it seems that researchers have more questions to answer, including in Garfield County specifically, does the presence of these endocrine disruptors actually lead to changes in people's health?
Yeah, it's going to be difficult to look at the health effects. The symptoms that people present with are common symptoms in other disorders. So you see people with fatigue, with sinus problems, sore throats, burning eyes, shortness of breath, things like that. And it's hard to take a suite of symptoms like that and pin them on an exposure, and probably even harder to pin them on endocrine disrupting chemicals in particular.
And the researchers behind the study out of the University of Missouri say that is their next step. It sounds like they may have a tough road ahead. But thank you so much for being with us.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me.
Carol Kwiatkowski is executive director of the Endocrine Disruption Exchange in Paonia. We also reached the Colorado Oil and Gas Conservation Commission, the COGCC. It tracks spills in the state. Officials there dispute Kwiatkowski's claim that spills in Colorado are going unreported. Spokesman Todd Hartman says operators are required to report spills and releases. Not doing so is a serious violation of state regulations. Industry has been critical of the study out of the University of Missouri. The Colorado Oil and Gas Association chose not to comment, but sent us to the national trade group, Energy In Depth. Spokeswoman Katie Brown argues that endocrine-disrupting chemicals are in so many products today that it's unfair to pin their increase in the environment on natural gas drilling. She also criticized the researchers' choice of locations for the study.
It compares Boone County, Missouri to Garfield County, Colorado, which is essentially comparing apples to oranges. These are different states, different regions. They have different industries in their areas, completely different terrains, and the report treats them as if they are exactly the same.
You can find a link to the University of Missouri study at cprnews.org.